Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. Let me mention, too, that the war room is, our prayer room is always open for you. Anytime that you feel a need, during the service or before or after the service, we'd love for you to visit the war room. It's in the back, a little bit in the back over there by the kitchen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. We're going to look at the seven trumpets of Revelation 9. These are trumpets that are going to be blown, or judgments that are going to happen during the Great Tribulation period. And it's going to be a time that Jesus says in Matthew 24 that's never happened before and never will ever happen again. It's calamity like we've never seen and like no one's ever seen. If the Lord said He's never seen it or never been anything like it, then it is calamity. So Revelation chapter 1, if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses. The first three verses of Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft he rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened and with the smoke from the shaft. Father, bless your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, the last time we looked at the trumpets. We began to look at the seven trumpets. The first trumpet, if you can tell, the Bible says there that it is blood mixed with hail, mixed with fire. So that is going to be when the first trumpet blows, that's what's going to happen. The Bible tells us that it's going to be calamity, obviously. It's going to be fire mingled with hail and blood, and it's going to burn up one third of all the trees and one third of all the grass upon this earth is going to happen when that first trumpet is blown. And the second trumpet is going to be, the Bible says a mountain is going to fall. Fiery mountain is going to fall into the sea, and it's going to kill a third of all the marine life and destroy a third of all the ships. So you can imagine what a third of all the marine life would look like. Brother Lamar, could you imagine going fishing there? I couldn't. If you got those, I guess, and they weren't contaminated, you could really eat some fish for a while, but I would be afraid to eat them. But a third of all the fish on the second trumpet. We saw last time a little bit, it talks about the third trumpet. When it blows, it says an object is going to fall from heaven. It's a star. And it falls upon the fresh waters, and it causes all of the fresh waters, a third of all the fresh waters, to be contaminated. And it's called wormwood, which is very, very bitter. And it's even beyond bitter. It's dangerous. So you can imagine it's going to kill a third of all the freshwater fish and other things, and you won't be able to drink them as well. So it's going to cause the third trumpet is going to cause a tremendous calamity on the freshwaters. We just saw the second one was the sea. So the second trumpet is going to affect the sea, the oceans. The third is going to affect the fresh waters. The fourth trumpet, when it sounds, the Bible says that in the fourth trumpet in chapter 8, a third of all the power of this world is going to be turned down by a third. A third of the sun turned down, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So they will not, the power will be diminished by a third. So you can imagine now, when these are diminished, how it's going to control all of the atmosphere. And these crazy folks talking about climate change and all of that now, they're really going to be talking about it at that point, because God's going to turn it all down. And we know, because we know God and we know God's sovereign. He controls it all anyway. If he wants to turn it down now or later, he can turn it down because he's God. He's in charge. It's going to happen one day, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 8. Everything's going to be reduced, the power, by one third. And I want to say, too, we're to take these verses literal. Because it illustrates God's moral judgment upon this evil world, that he is going to punish this world one day for all of the evil. He's not going to let people get away with it appears that people get away with. It's going to be punished one day. Because the Bible says the world is not getting better. And anyone that doesn't have their head in sand knows the world's getting worse. It's growing out of control, sort of like this plant here. You may not can tell, but it's kudzu. Y'all familiar with kudzu, all of you? Kudzu brought here in the 1870s for ornamental bush. Can you believe that? And then in the 1940s, farmers used it for erosion control. But it got completely out of control, and you know it's very hard to kill kudzu. It's probably easier now than it used to be, but sin is like kudzu. It just starts and it goes out of control. And we see in our world, in our society, that sin has gotten out of control. Sin, in other words, is like a bottomless pit. It's slavery to those who are in it, the middle of it and following it. It is evil, just like a bottomless pit. Today, the fifth angel blows a trumpet. And when the fifth angel blows a trumpet, it's surrounding a situation. It encompasses a bottomless pit. And so the message today out of Revelation chapter 9 is bottomless pit. Let me give you these truths today. I want to give you four simple truths. Number one, actually, there's a text. We'll look at it again. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Believe it or not, that's a real place. I would hate to be on a boat, wouldn't you? Riding on that pit there, that opening. Obviously, they have barriers where people won't get in a canoe or a boat and get sucked under there. But the first truth I want you to know, that this pit in Revelation chapter 9 is wide open. It's smack wide open. It tells us there in the first verse, the fifth angel sounded and a star fell from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key, a key to the bottomless pit. And so this star here, if you read the text, is in Greek, is more likely a person. The verb tense here is that this person has already fallen. It is more likely to be Satan himself that is given the key to the bottomless pit, which also is a reference to Sheol or a reference to hell. I want you to think with me for just a minute. God allows one of his greatest creations, Lucifer, the fallen angel, filled with evil, to uncover, to open, to expose this bottomless pit where he is going to live one day, where Satan is going to reside with all those people that follow him. Verse 2 tells us that God has Satan open this pit. Why would God have Satan open this pit? God, perhaps because as we see, if we read a little further, you're going to see that smoke, when he opens a pit, smoke is, and people are going to be in the pit, by the way, because they're already, people are already going, dying and going to hell, and they've been doing it for 2,000 years and beyond that. But smoke is going to arise out of the pit, the Bible tells us there. And the sun and moon is going to become darkened because of the smoke that comes out of the pit when this fifth trumpet sounds. And we're also told that when the pit is open, some giant locusts are going to come out of this pit. Not normal locusts, but giant sci-fi locusts is going to come out. It's not going to be a good time, folks, to be on this earth during that time. But I want you to know that sin will be much, much worse then than it even is now. It's going to be harder to get saved at that point during the Great Tribulation period, because Satan has blinded his hearers, because people are going to want to get the mark of the beast so they can eat and feed their families. And people today who care less, could care less about God's word, it's going to be much, much tougher for them if they are during the, if they are alive during the Great Tribulation period, for them to get out of or to get away from the bottomless pit. Every true believer should not be afraid to talk about this bottomless pit, because it is real. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, uncovered the bottomless pit of all, among all of his followers, when he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's what they said. And he told them to be saved, repent, and trust the Lord Jesus. And we know 3,000 were saved on that day from the bottomless pit. Satan wants you and I to believe that it doesn't exist. Satan wants you and I to think we can do what we want to do. This world can sin however they want to sin, the evil and violence and gossip and murder and adultery and all of those things, and get away with it. But we know that the Bible says that's not going to happen. The pit is exposed. The pit is wide open. Let me give you truth number two. The pit is fathomless. Fathomless meaning you and I cannot understand it. We could research and we could analyze, but God's, this pit that God devised for Satan and all of his followers, we can't understand it, because the Bible says it's bottomless. It doesn't have a bottom. It's an abyss without a bottom. Where is it? Probably in the center of the earth, but we don't know. It could be anywhere suspended in God's universe. But I want you to try and wrap your mind around this pit for a moment, better known as hell or Sheol or whatever. But it has no bottom. Why does it not have a bottom? Well, I'm not really sure. But just like evil, evil cannot fully be measured. We don't know how evil he is or she is or they are. It can't fully be measured. Well, this pit can't be measured either. It doesn't have a bottom in it. And so you can imagine, whether it's 10 miles or whether it's a million miles deep, it can't be measured. It's fathomless. Have you ever dreamed? You guys ever had a dream where you were falling? Anybody ever had that? Y'all had that before, a dream where you were falling? And you know, in that dream, when you dreamed you were falling, it was, you were just kicking while you were sleeping, but you were just kicking and trying to grab a hold of something, or hoping that a branch was going to stop you, or all of a sudden SpongeBob would come and save you or something. You were hoping something would happen, but you just kept falling, and it was just the worst feeling in the world. Can you imagine those people that end up in the bottomless pit? I don't know why it doesn't have a bottom, but I can imagine. Can you imagine the people in hell? They're suspended in a bottomless pit. It doesn't have a bottom, so they have nowhere to take a toehold of any sort. And so forever and ever and ever, their body's just not just on fire and it doesn't burn up. They're not just in eternal torment, but they're in eternal nauseous feeling that you feel like when you're falling, that never goes away. Not just for 1 year or a million years, but we're talking about forever and ever. Maybe that's why the pit doesn't have a bottom, because they'll never get a foothold. And it's absolute, unequivocal darkness and torment. Dear folks, those of us who love the Lord Jesus and know the Lord Jesus and have trusted the Lord Jesus, this is our hell. Amen? But for those who don't care about the Lord Jesus and who just do their own thing, and trust their own self, this is their hell. We're going to end up in heaven, and they're not going to end up there. Because we have repented and believed. We've trusted Him. Let me give you truth number three. Number three is the pit is burning. Notice verse 2 says, the smoke came out of a great furnace. Great furnace. Not a small furnace, not an average furnace. But God said a great furnace. Larger than you and I could ever imagine with our little finite mind. And it's burning. And it's burning right now. It always burns. And it's burning for all of those who say, I don't need Jesus. I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow what I want to follow. Or it's burning for all those who, when they were younger, they walked down some aisle and they made this little half-hearted prayer or they were baptized. But you can look at their life and there's never been a change. There's never been any kind of going one way, changing one way and going the other way and following Jesus. They've always been going this way and they've never changed. They may have had a head changed, but they've never truly trusted and repented. And so they're, unfortunately, this is their destination. This is where they're going. If not already there, every lost soul dies and goes to the great furnace. Every human living without the Lord Jesus ends up in the great furnace. Even though they may not be aware of it, even though they may not want to know about it, it's reality. It's true. You know, people today don't know the Bible like they did generations ago. People studied their Bible and came to church more and were more involved in around what God wanted to years ago. We didn't have all this social media and all this other stuff that keeps our time preoccupied. As many of you just sit around a little candlelight or a little bit of a kerosene lantern or whatever, and your parents were farmers, and y'all worked hard, and in the afternoon you would come in, and at night y'all would eat, and then you would go to bed. You didn't have all this stuff filling your mind like we have nowadays. And so people nowadays don't know the Bible. They're not simple-minded as far as this world like they used to be. And so I can imagine during the Great Tribulation period, that seven-year time, that people are going to, since they're ignorant of God's Word, they're going to even be more prone to taking the mark of the beast. More prone to doing that. Whether they take it on their hand or their forehead, whether it's a chip, or whether it's some other kind of means, with social media and with technology as we see today, you can see what's going on anywhere in this world. The Bible says, and we're going to get into that a little later on, when we get to that chapter, that people are going to take the mark of the beast, and the beast is also going to have these little images that is going to affect people and going to infect people and kill them when they don't take the mark. And so it's going to be like you and I could never imagine. People are ignorant today of the Scriptures, and it is not going to help them one day when the tribulation comes after the rapture. Let me give you the last little truth. The pit is very alarming. Very alarming. Here in our text, the smoke from the pit causes the sun and moon to darken and a huge locust like scorpions to come out from the pit. And I want you to know, look at verse 4 with me. Look at what it says about these strange, evil creatures who come to torture lost people. Verse 4 says, these locusts were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. But only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were given, the locusts were given, were not given authority to kill the lost people, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like a torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Verse 6 says, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and their heads were crowns of something like gold. Their faces were like faces of men, their hair like women's hair, their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and their were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. You know, people today aren't really satisfied with mythical figures like we used to see. When you and I grew up, some of the more scary characters was these guys. Y'all remember them? Was King Kong and Godzilla and Megalon. You know, we thought that was just terrifying. But nowadays, and I haven't even seen much of it, but I can imagine the video games and some of the movies that many people are going to see. Some of these science fiction creatures that they create would make these things here look like, you know, Sesame Street. They're so evil looking and just awful, egregious. But nothing man can invent on a video game or anywhere else is ever going to match the creatures that God's going to send out of the bottomless pit. Is it as if God is saying, if you want evil, if you want to see an evil creature, those of you that don't love Jesus, those of you don't care anything about Jesus, those of you that have taken the mark of the beast, wherever it is, on your body, but you've got the mark, if that's what you want, it's almost as if God's saying, have at it. Here's what you're going to get. And so these enormous locusts, now, this is a big locust. Probably bigger than you and I have ever seen. Y'all ever seen a locust that big in real life? That thing could eat a lot of garden vegetables and stuff, couldn't it? But I'm not talking about that kind of locust. The locust is coming out of the fiery pit. You and I can't understand. We know what the Bible says about it. We know the description the Bible talks about. But as far as the enormity, large as a horse, and a man's face, and all of that other stuff that comes with it, you and I can't imagine what it's going to do. Notice the features. Tortures, torments like scorpions, shaped like horses, crowns of gold, faces like men, women's hair, lion's teeth, breastplates of iron, wings that sound like many chariots running to battle, and tails that sting. There may be other features as well. But the good thing is, for those who love the Lord Jesus, if the rapture were to occur, God's going to take us out. For those who aren't saved in this world, they're going to be tortured, is the bad thing, by these creatures. If they're still alive during the Great Tribulation period, and they don't know the Lord Jesus, they're going to be tortured. And the Bible says those people that have taken the seal of God on their foreheads will not be affected by these creatures. God's going to shield them and protect them. It will be so terrible on the earth during the time of the Great Tribulation period that according to verse 6, men and women will desperately want to die. But they can't do it. Men will do everything they can to kill themselves, to keep themselves from being tortured by these creatures. But they won't be able to kill themselves. They won't be able to do it. It says there that death will flee from them. God can do whatever He wants to do. Sometimes we want to limit God. Well, He can't control so-and-so dying, or He can't control this, or He can't control... Yes, He can. If He wants to, He can. And the Bible says He's going to keep those people tortured at least 5 months, and they're not going to be able to die no matter if they jump off a bridge, no matter if they put a gun to their head, if they take 1,000 pills, no matter what they do, they're not going to be able to die. For those who've taken the 666, even though they'll want to. And dear friend, all of this is just a precursor. It's just a picture. A little bit of a glimpse of what it's going to be like for those who end up in hell. Nothing. Just like they can't die. The people that want to die when this creature is torturing them. Nothing in hell. If someone ends up in hell, they die without Jesus. Nothing they do. They can't get out of there. They're stuck. They're there forever. They're tormented forever. Nothing they do will free them from that torment. The people that go through the Great Tribulation period and take the mark of the beast, they're going to think these locusts are bad, and they are, because Jesus says they are. But in reality, they hadn't, if I can use the phrase, they hadn't seen nothing yet. Because in hell, man cannot die. Every single second in hell, I would imagine man is going to want to die, woman's going to want to die, but it will not happen. Every second they'll be tormented forever and ever and ever. But for you and I who've trusted the Lord Jesus, we're not perfect. We're not saying that. We still mess up. We still stumble. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. But we know that we love the Lord Jesus. We know that this book is very, very important to us. We care about people. We care about the church. We care about God's will and God's kingdom. For those of us who love the Lord Jesus, in heaven, we're not going to die either. And every second is going to be praise and glory and joy and celebration forever and ever. So here's the question. Here's the verse that I want you to think about with me before the question. Jesus said, the time is now. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and keep believing the gospel. That's what a Christian does. They repent and believe. They don't just throw it away when they go to college or when they have a bad experience. No. Sure, we struggle. We definitely have troubles and trials and tribulations, but we keep believing. We keep on keeping on. So the question for you, where are you headed? Not where is your church membership. Not where were you baptized. Not where were you confirmed. Or not where the preacher said you're okay and you're saved. The Bible says salvation is not of works. Because if it was of works, we would boast about it. If you're saved, you can rejoice. But you better be sure. The Bible says, search yourself and see if you're sure of your salvation. If not, repent. Just like we all have had to do. Repent and cry out to the Lord Jesus to save you. It is that simple. Theologians, liberal theologians, don't want you to believe it's that simple, but it is. Because we don't do the saving anyway. God does the saving. It's God's salvation, not ours. He saves us. Not because we have merit or we're any good or one day your son's going to be a preacher or this and that. No. Because he loves you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, only you know the hearts of all the people here today. Only you, Lord, know whether someone's playing games with you, playing church with you, or they're practicing sin. They just over and over and over. There's never been a heart change. They're just practicing lawlessness, sin, evil. And as Lord, as your word says, one day when those stand before you, Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, you who practice sin. I don't know you, because you don't practice righteousness. You practice sin." Lord, convict those who may be in that boat today, because the rapture could come tomorrow, and the great tribulation could start, and then they're going to have to deal with all of these evils: the locusts, the horses, death and plagues and dying and things falling into the sea and torture and torment, smoke coming from the earth, half of the third of the sun, moon, and stars losing their power, and all of these other calamities. Lord, may they trust you today. May they cry out to you for salvation. Lord, and for those who do know you, that do love you, Lord, may they just say thank you, Lord, and how much we love you. And we appreciate, Lord, you saving us. Not because we're special, but because you first loved us. Father, have your way with this service. In Christ's holy name, amen.